Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. Today's topic is contemplation. I have in the studio with me Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for over 4 decades, and she is here to share her wealth of wisdom and experience on this and many other subjects. The series attempts to focus on you, the individual, to make you understand that you are understood as a person in respect of things that you didn't necessarily articulate to anyone else. Today's show and the entire series focuses on things like what is on the inside of a human being, whether there's a balance between your internal and your external world, what is the core of spirituality, and do you enjoy a balanced and harmonious relationship with the divine, whomever you believe him or her to be. Mr. Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And very warm welcome to today's show.
Thanks.
Contemplation. I see in the past we did a series or show on meditation and yoga. And today's talk is entitled Contemplation. How does this differ from the other subject?
Well, you know, in the process of the internal focusing of the mind, there are a number of words that we use. So meditation is one. Concentration is another very important one. And contemplation is special because on what do you contemplate? You contemplate the wonder of the divine. Because it takes quite a lot of effort to bring oneself out of the ordinary consciousness, to discipline the intellect and the mind in such a way that you can actually connect your mind to God and hold it there, because it's very, very subtle and very slippery, like trying to catch mercury. And when you can hold it, you then shift to the contemplative, where you're just really looking at it and feeling it and seeing it and soaking it in and experiencing how extraordinary and amazing it is. And you want to hold it, and you want to hold it for a long time. But the mind is very, you know, rushing, and so it goes and you lose it, and then you have to bring it all back again. So it's quite a whole setup to get yourself to a point where you're contemplating. I mean, if you're contemplating the stars in the night sky, it's analogous in a way. Okay, you sit there somewhere and you're looking at the sky, but still your mind will distract you with something or another, even though you're contemplating the wonder of the universe or the wonder of nature or so, because the mind flits, and like a butterfly, it won't sit still for long. So it's a whole process to organize your consciousness so that it does. And then when you can hold it for a long time, there's such an extraordinary absorption into your being that is so nurturing and fulfilling, and that makes everything worthwhile, you know.
Mr. Denise, the energy that you're emanating as you're speaking is one of silence, of divine love, of deep internal harmony, of quietness. Is that your experience? And my second question is, how does contemplation change the way you feel?
I think that, yes, to your first question, definitely. Time spent at that level changes you. It changes your perspective on things. It puts the awareness of the extraordinary power of God, if you have glimpsed it, beauty of God, if you have glimpsed it, Everything else, you know, really pales in comparison. And the small things that we think are so big, they're seen in their right perspective, they're really very small. You don't need to get distressed and disturbed by such frivolities because of the greatness of the divine, you see. And so the more you bring that into your mind, the more that has place in your consciousness, the more the percentage of your being is imbued with those atmospheres and vibrations, then of course, being a recipient and a receptacle for that, you can then spread it out in your own right. So I think the contemplative people are also conduits. You know, you take time, you organize your consciousness to be able to apprehend that which is beyond most people's capacity, but you hold it, and then it is spread, you see, because you have to become a conduit for it. That is your function as a human being in relationship with the divine.
Okay. Sister Denise, how does somebody who engages in this type of spiritual practice, how do they relate to the external world? I mean, raising a family, going to work, fulfilling one's responsibilities.
I think that you know, the people who are seriously contemplatives, they will actually make that their life. Because in this world, you get many different kinds of people. And there's a small group of people who are the contemplatives, the mystics, those who move away from what we call worldly life, and they want to spend their time doing that. It's a very small group of people. And I think that people who are engaged in the worldly life can also do this, but because it takes a lot of time and energy, they may do this maybe when they've retired, their family has grown up, they've done their business, and they are free to focus on the eternal, on the divine. And that is really perhaps the last section of human life as you move towards finally leaving this world in this form. And so there's that side of it. A lot of people actually begin their spiritual practice more seriously in the later part of their lives because, you know, you know what it is, all the worldly temptations and mistakes and opportunities and failures, and you've got experience, you've got life experience, you see, you've been there, done that, got all the t-shirts, so that's behind you, and then what's in front of you is something vast and extraordinary. So yeah, it's very good to do that.
Okay. Sister Denise, everyone has a past. Everyone is carrying some damage, internal and external. Everyone is dealing with some sort of problem, either large or small. How does contemplation, the power that you attain from that, how does it help you manage all of that?
Well, I think it gives you the possibility of letting it go. And even if someone from your past comes along and said, I know this about you, now you say, yeah, you're right. And it's over. Let it go. You're not going to be distressed by it, or you're not going to lose face over it. It's over, you know. It's not important. Yes, it happened. Yes, I did this. Yes, I was damaged. Yes, yes. And move on, you know. To be aware of the greater things in human experience. The contemplation of the divine makes all those things very trivial in comparison.
Sister Denise, the energy that you are emitting right now is one of silence. It's actually quite beautiful. How are you able to maintain silence, which I assume is a byproduct of your contemplation? How are you able to maintain that internal silence in a world that is so noisy? Because every interaction that we engage in, that you engage in with other people, with in terms of your responsibilities, all entails sound and communication. So how are you able to hold the stillness inside and yet interact in a world of sound? Doesn't that steal what you've accumulated? Doesn't the outside world impact on your inner world?
You know, there's inner silence, which is a different dimension. The outer world of noise, you are in contact with it by virtue of your sense perceptions, by virtue of your ears. You know, if you're deaf, it doesn't exist. So, what you do in the practice of contemplation is you internalize your consciousness so that you are actually detached from your sense perceptions, which means you're detached from the world of noise and, you know, all of this, what we call the worldly world, and you're in a different dimension. The inner dimension, the dimension of the mind, the dimension of the inner space. And when you spend time there, of course you're going to accumulate that silence, and then I think that you spread it into the material world, and you actually can alter the atmosphere. And when you alter the atmosphere, then you also determine what sort of activity can take place in that atmosphere. So it's part of the process of what we call self-mastery.
Mm. Okay. And Denise, do you not encounter situations where things on the external threaten to steal what you've accumulated? Because life throws things at you suddenly and intensely. And we all face negative situations at any point in our lives. What do you do when you're faced with, say, for example, a feeling of fear inside, if there is a threat from the outside? And I'm using fear as an example. It could be that somebody does something that you find unacceptable, as a mild example. How do you deal with the backlash of negativity from the outside?
You see, every day you practice silence, you practice meditation, you have contemplative time every day. And an hour or two of meditation is quite sufficient to neutralize, you know, 23, 22 hours of which impinges on you from the outside world. It's a very great power, the power of silence.
Mm. Tell us more about it.
Well, you were giving some examples. Okay, fear. What would a silent person be afraid of who's aware of their immortality, whose conscience is clean? What can you be afraid of? There isn't anything, you know. And if there is something that presents itself in a threatening way, well, you call upon your powers, you call upon your courage, and you deal with it as it comes. This is how you live.
Mm. Where does God fit into your contemplative practice?
Well, God is the object of your contemplation, and God is with you at all times. So, you know, the sense of having not only God, but everything that is with God, with you, as a right, you see, puts everything else in a perspective where it looks quite small and quite manageable. You see, it's all about how you looking at it, what your angle is. You see, you give more validity, more importance to the permanent and all the impermanent things. It's as real as a movie, you know. It comes, it goes, it's okay. Entertainment.
Mr. Denise, you use the expression God is with you at all times. Is that the same or not as the concept of omnipresence?
No, it's not omnipresence, because the concept of omnipresence is a bit unclear to most people, but the actual meaning of the word omnipresence is God is everywhere, which means God is everything, because everywhere is containing all sorts of things. And I mean, this idea of the omnipresence of God is very, very prevalent. There are people who can feel the presence of God, and then they will deduce that that means he must be everywhere. But then God would say, well, I'm someone, just as you are someone. And you can ask yourself this question: where are you? Are you where your body is, or are you where your mind is? And if you think about it, you're actually more where your mind is than where your body is. So, but people who are very materialistically minded, they can only think of the presence of someone being a factor of their physical shell or instrument that they work through. So they're not really looking at the nature of the mind. God is a discarnate, non-human being of light who is extremely rapid and can, you know, go wherever he, she wants in a nanosecond and be present with someone for something in a split second and then go somewhere else. But people, it's out of the range of most people to consider such things. But when you become, you know, close to God, a student of God, and you really start to contemplate upon what God speaks about, then you begin to start to have access to the mind of God through your own mind, and then your own mind becomes influenced by that mind, and then you become less in what we call the human condition than people are. So there is definitely an impact and a transformation that occurs to someone who dedicates a lot of time and energy to being with God. And you know, one of God's promises is, I am with you, all you have to do is be aware of me. But that doesn't make him omnipresent.
So Denise, I see that we have a few minutes left of today's episode. Would you like to take us through a meditation commentary so that you are able to show the audience on a practical level the thoughts that go through your mind when you are contemplating by yourself?
Well, first of all, you make yourself, you know, fairly balanced in terms of physical.
Okay, I'm balancing.
You're balancing. And then just draw your energy. The energy of your being is spread throughout your body, into your extremities, your toes, your fingers. And so just in your mind, draw that energy upwards and through your trunk into the center of your forehead, the third eye point, which is the seat of the soul. And when you do that, you start to feel that the material world is much less solid than it seems in normal conditions, because you are approaching, by doing this, you're approaching the non-material world or the other side that is not the material side. And so you just go further and further, deeply inside, and you think of yourself as a pure point of consciousness. And you actually lift off from your body and just let it sit there in the chair. And you go into a world of light, which is the dimension where you will find God. And in that world of light, where you're focused, you will feel the energy of God. You will feel, you will, as if in an internal way, you will see the being of light, the source of light, the source of love, the intelligence of the wise, who is waiting for you, who knows exactly who you are, and who's receiving you, and filling you with that peace and that love, giving you your inheritance, giving you power. You watch this, you feel this, you contemplate this, you take it in, and you feel. And then in a moment, you return back to the regular, everyday world. It's just one thought away.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. So, thank you, Sister Denise. There you have it. That is, unfortunately, the end of today's episode on contemplation. The most powerful aspect of today's episode is not what Sister Denise shared in words, but the feeling that is in the studio right now and the atmosphere that was created, where I can actually feel a God in the room with me right now. And I so hope that you can feel it too. You are also aware that anyone can share the words and anyone can use the name God, but there are very few who actually know God and who spend time with Him and who are able to share God's energy with whomever they meet through their eyes and through their words. And I feel quite privileged to have such an experience right now, and I hope that you have too. So thank you for joining us, and I hope that you are able to keep the silence that has been shared with you, and hope that you will be able to motivate yourself to visit God and take more power from Him. Thank you and goodbye. Thank you.